For the best hot sandwich in town, grab a grinder at Mancino's Grinders and Pizza, a family-owned Eau Claire favorite since 1997. Famous for oven-baked grinders on made-from-scratch bread, Mancino's also serves fresh pizzas, pastas, wings, and beer. Dine in, take out, or free delivery. Proud sponsor of Blue Gold Athletics and all local sports teams for nearly 30 years. Discounts available for visiting teams. Stop by, call, or visit MancinosEauClaire.com. Make Mancino's your family tradition.
Blue Gold Sports is rich in tradition and excellence. It's about the athletes, the coaches, the games, and the history. And it all rolls into one place. It's the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, your official UWO Claire Blue Golds podcast.
Hey, yo, what is up, everybody? It is time for season three of Rollin' with the Golds podcast, presented by Mancino's Grinders and Pizza. It's back to school, which means it's back to Rolling with the Golds. And welcome back, Nick. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Summer flew on by. Crazy.
Way too short.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a really busy summer that I've never experienced before. But it's mostly kid getting older, so he's like tournament ball every weekend. And yeah, it was nuts. It's hard to believe it's September already.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
Did you have a good summer, though?
Yeah, did. Found a lot of time away. I felt like it was one of the summers that was best managed with time.
Yeah.
Just as far as, you know, getting what needed to get done and, you know, find some time away from everything to, you know, kind of relax. And took a couple trips here and there. But, yeah, it got to be that point where it's just like, athletes start coming back, and we're rocking right back into it. So
yeah, you are. I mean, a lot of changes too. Good stuff, right? I mean, new faces. I should probably say better way to say that.
100%. And you know, I don't think we'd ever really sugarcoat it if it wasn't. But yeah, had some head coaches leave for other institutions, and not even head coaches, like the big one with Chance the Gym. Moving to James Madison, and so bringing interim chancellor Mike Carney, who's fantastic,
and he's a blue gold guy through and through.
He
is.
So caught a little picture of him over moving weekend. Had a nice blue gold athletics sweatshirt on. So
nice.
shout out Chancellor Carney for that.
Nice.
But yeah, department is you know still the same. A couple new faces. One of the big ones, we brought in a local familiar face, Kyle Sayer, former Regis AD, coming in as an assistant athletic director and the director of men's and women's tennis. So I've gotten to, you know him the past couple weeks, or months, I should say. Fantastic. I mean, he's a former Blue Gold. He, you know, shares his stories of times that he was, you know, a student at Eau Claire, and his knowledge, and I think his outgoingness is what really sets him apart in a sense of he can, if he doesn't know somebody, it's only going to take him a 20-minute conversation for him to really get to know them. But at the same time, like, that's not going to be the last time he's going to talk to them. Like,
right.
He follows up, creates those friendships, and pretty decent tennis coach from what I know and from what I've heard from the team. So added him to our administrative staff. New assistant SID, Jack Frederick, came in. Spencer left us this summer, just family move back to Green Bay. So shout out Spencer, we miss you. But bringing in, Jack Frederick, former Blue Gold as well, worked within the sports info office kind of towards the end of my senior year and then when I was an assistant here. So
okay.
Nice to kind of get him back. He's been fantastic so far as kind of jumping into it. It's a big transition. Going from what he was doing to coming back, but this is what he wants to do. I think that was one of the biggest things is surrounding yourself with people who have the same goal and agenda, and, you know, he has a passion for sports similar to mine, and it was a no-brainer. And then a third Blue Gold making their return. Jeez, we added a lot of alum. Head women's hockey coach Jared Vroman comes back to campus. Was coaching at Augsburg for 2 years on the men's side as an assistant, but Shout out Coach Strand. He made his move all the way out to Vermont as an assistant coach out there, and wish him nothing but the best. But yeah, Jared comes in, first-year head coach, and from just talking with the team and stuff like that, he's already made an impact. And
awesome.
He's ready to go. Yeah. We've had to calm him down a little bit and be like, hey, like you got to wait for your contact days. Season truly doesn't start till October, but he's ready to go. And his wife is a former player as well.
Oh,
so
nice.
Shout out Bree, and she'll help him where it's necessary.
Right.
But they also got a little one at home, so love to bring those three back. And but yeah, that kind of rounds off. Kind of main additions to our department, per se, a couple new assistants here and there. But other than that, it's business as usual.
Yeah. And, I mean, you got a lot kicking off already in progress with a lot of your fall sports going on. I mean, where do we begin, right? You know, let's talk a little volleyball, because switching to Sonnentag, right, going to be playing games over there to Lisa Herb court now too, which she was my former professor and advisor, too, back in the day. So shout out Coach Herb. But it's kind of cool to have volleyball now at full-time at Sonnentag, right?
100%. Yeah. And I guess the volleyball crew would be upset with me if I didn't introduce our fourth member, Miss Tara, as they call her. But, yeah, I think it was a strategic decision that, you know, we initially had last year, just in the sense of trying to utilize a premier facility. I think it was one of those things where we just didn't want to rush it. We wanted to take our time with it and, you know, first play some games in there just to see what the atmosphere would be like, what the game day operations side of things would look like. And so last year we thought it was a complete success from a standpoint of when they did play in Sonnentag. To we made that decision, and then, you know, starting to talk about it more, you know, how can we make this premier venue the best?
Right.
Well, we went out and after some generous donations and some support from alums and donors, became the first Division III school in NCAA to house a TerraFlex court. So if you haven't seen it, there's pictures online. They're fantastic. Like you said, it's the Lisa Herb court at the Sonnentag Event Center. TerraFlex court is about a third of an inch, quarter of an inch, basically just like foam padding.
Okay.
But what it does is first off, the gym looks fantastic with it. Because for those who went to volleyball games last year, it was a volleyball court that was just taped down over a basketball court. Now you really, you know, seal it in with the navy, and it's a very simplistic model, but it truly looks like a volleyball court.
Right.
So from an eye test, it looks fantastic. You look at the playing side of things, apparently it's a huge difference, which all the entire team, as soon as they heard TerraFlex, lost their minds. And there's a video out there that we posted of us like revealing it to them for the first time. And I don't know, my volleyball playing days consists of playing in the sand.
Yeah.
So I
Top
really
gun style.
Right. So I really don't understand, you know, how from a playing perspective, how different it is, but they were excited. And I know it was one of those things that when it was first talked about within the admin group and the coaching staff, it was like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And I feel like we absolutely nailed it. So
now this is something that I'm assuming kind of like, you know, installed before each game. It's not something basketball plays on or anything like that, right?
Right. So, and that's the point of it. The part of it is it does protect the basketball court underneath it too. So like you said, it's something that has to get rolled up and rolled down. It is a bit more of a lengthy process than just like, say, like a wrestling mat. So we went through the entire schedule. We've, you know, strategically set dates with the Sonnentag event staff. Like, hey, it's down now. It's going to stay down until, you know, there's a concert or, you know, there's a basketball game.
Right.
And so trying to set it up in a sense where, you know, we can leave it down for extended periods of time. Because I believe every time you put it down, we use like it's a ludicrous number as far as like how much the tape costs and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So, but just trying to be strategic in a sense of, you know, you also don't want to just take it up or roll it up and roll it back out every day.
Right.
So you can, you know, preserve it, because this is something that we're hoping we don't have to replace for, you know, five, 6 years,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even longer than that. So, there will be times where it will come up, and mm-hmm. but that's where basketball can still practice and have shoot-arounds with that down. They have the three auxiliary courts right underneath the, bleachers,
yep.
Which people may not know, right? So it's huge from that standpoint of a sense of, you know, we are able to utilize that space to its full potential,
right?
I mean, there could be days this year where, you know, volleyball is practicing on their Terraflex and you have both men's and women's flanking on each side,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Which I don't know how many other places could do that.
Exactly.
Now, it might get a little chaotic and a little loud, but it's possible.
You can get it done.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there's always McPhee. McPhee's mm-hmm. not going anywhere. We yep. still have equipment up there. It's, you know, I think it's right around homecoming. We have those two concerts, and so volleyball you know, either be up in McPhee or, mm-hmm. you know, we'll be practicing down at Sontag just without the Terraflex. But, it's one of those things where it's a complete game changer,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're the vision that this administrative staff has is that, you know, we are trying to not only sell this place, but give these student athletes the best experience that they can have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was a huge step in the realm of volleyball to give the student athletes that,
mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, it's never easy to relocate and rehome,
mm-hmm.
especially when a team has played in McPhee for so long. But it's going to be good. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So they had two weekends ago, I believe. Yeah. They did some scrimmages and
mm-hmm.
things worked well. And, their first home match will be the St. Schumacher tournament next week, mm-hmm. next weekend. But then speaking of Lisa Herb, everybody needs to circle, write down the date. I expect you to be there.
Okay.
Hopefully Friday night, 7:00, September 19th.
Okay.
First duel at home. We're going to do a whole court dedication for Lisa. The whole shebang, kind of mm-hmm. unveil the court in a sense.
Right.
But it's also going to be Chippewa Valley night. So
okay.
very similar to what we did last
for
year
basketball.
With basketball.
Okay.
So everybody gets in free. I'm going to stop by with some tickets here next week.
Okay.
For y'all too. But it's just one of those things where, you know, we want to make sure that we recognize, you know, those who have meant so much and
mm-hmm.
and have dedicated, you know, their time and effort. And
mm-hmm.
Again, take a look at the video. There's no sound bites from Lisa talking with the team, but like I was lucky enough to be in that gym when she was, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it obviously meant the world to her, but you know, as she said, it's that program is a family,
mm-hmm.
and they just want what's best for the current players mm-hmm. and players to come.
Well, so, I mean, even like the current coaching staff, I mean, all played under Coach Herb too,
right?
So I mean, there's that connection within it,
100%.
Family,
you know,
so.
Kim, Jody playing mm-hmm. under Lisa and playing, you know, college volleyball here is 100%.
Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. And I know they're off. They got their season started off already. They got, I think they're in Illinois later this week for a tournament.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So wrapped up. Started this past weekend out in Colorado. So mm-hmm. I think they got back yesterday. Maybe. Yeah. Because I was checking some locations on Sunday, and they were still in Colorado.
Okay.
But yeah, played Friday, Saturday out at Colorado College, Colorado Springs. Went 3-1 on the weekend. Had a tough match against East Texas Baptist University
mm-hmm.
To start things off. But you know, they competed. They showed that they're you know, never truly out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was some sets that they kind of let slip from them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a team where, you know, they didn't graduate many people last year. So you got the likes of Abby Stanwood, Bailey Leak, Maya Cinema, who, you know, dominated last year and are coming back to dominate again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a fun year. Yeah. It really is. So definitely would key in on them and follow their journey this year, because I think, I'm not trying to put anything out there, but this
I think we were talking about it last year too, just like the growth that they kept, you know, kind of eyeing towards 100%. The future a little bit, you know, and just what they did last year, making national tournament, right? Mm-hmm. And then building upon that for this year. So there's easily a lot of excitement surrounding this team.
And it was one of those things last year where, you know, first year of NPI, you didn't really know what to expect. You lose that first round against Platteville at home in the WIAC tournament, and, you know, you're all sitting there like, well, now it's kind of just a waiting game of Team A needs to win and Team B needs to win, and, you know, you get all the way down to Team F and H of, you know, they need to lose this, and, you know, it all shook out great. So I think that's the other key growth moment for that team is, you know, even if you don't get the results that you want towards the end, like, the math's got a funny way of working things out. Mm-hmm. But the more concise, straightforward road is just to, you know, win the WIAC and go from there. But got to start, like you said, they're down in Chicago this weekend. Some tough matchups down there, so got to focus on that first.
Right.
Very excited to watch this team this year and see how far they can, you know, they can go.
Absolutely. How about, speaking of starting up a little bit later this week too, we got both cross-country teams with the Alumni Open coming up for men's and women's cross-country. So that starts this weekend, and, you know, getting into St. Olaf after that. But you talk about programs too that always have high expectations. No different with the cross-country teams.
100%. And it'll be an interesting year for just from the standpoint of, you know, they kind of lost some firepower at the top, both the men's and the women's side. I think it'll be, I've taken a glance at their rosters coming in. They just came across my inbox yesterday, so I haven't really gotten a chance to dive into them too much. But I mean, that's a team that's always, you know, very competitive, and I think one of the advantages we have this year is we're hosting regionals.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't have to travel, you know, out to Gustavus or out to Michigan or anywhere like that. NCAA regionals is right in our backyard up at Whitetail, which Dan, Chip, and their staff do a fantastic job doing, putting that event on. So it's going to be an exciting season, just from the standpoint of a lot of races here in town locally that, you know, the athletes will get all sides of Mother Nature, right? I always think it's funny looking back at old photos and kind of going through seasons where, you know, late in October, it looks like it's sunny and, like, you know, 75, 80, and the very next weekend they're, you know, racing out in Michigan, and it's snowing.
Well, right? And anybody who's golfed Whitetail knows that's a tough course to even just walk around,
right,
too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know. Talk about home court advantage.
The elevation changes there are no joke, and I mean, you start and you end on a hill.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous how that all works out. But
again,
to be able to host that and to kind of, you know, take a little bit of a home course advantage for our squads is huge. So definitely very excited to watch them perform this year.
Speaking of golf, I know the women's team already got their season started off. Not a bad start, too, placing 6 out of 13 teams. And I know the men's team is going to be starting this coming weekend here, too. But, you know, we talked about, you know, the changes within the program the last couple of years. And this women's team, I think that's a really good start for them to begin their season.
100%. And I think it not only was it a good start, you know, as a team, but they had some individuals that really, really kind of showed up. And we had a career low on Sunday. Shout out Elizabeth Herman, ripping off a 73, which you and I could only imagine.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
It was a great start. Some great competition out there. Bunch of MIAC schools, some UMAC schools. And that course isn't the easiest. I've never had a chance to play Blackberry Ridge, but I got some buddies over there that have played it, and down to Sartell, and it's no joke. It really isn't. So so like you said, finished sixth. Was Elizabeth Herman, shot her career low 73, placed her tied for sixth overall, individually, which is great. And then had a newcomer Hold the best, you know, the best round on Saturday. Tally Schlindwin. And she finished, you know, tied for 25th.
And Coach Skinner doing great things with both programs, huh?
Yeah, Skinner and Coach Walk, kind of talking with Darren. He's very excited for the, you know, the incoming class on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
On the men's side, they lost, I think, 6 or 7. So some new faces.
Big shoes to fill, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But they were, I mean, last year was kind of, I didn't envy Darren last year because he had a lot of talent on both sides, and making those, you know, final decisions of who's on what team isn't easy. And I mean, there was many times last year where our second team beat our first team.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up too. So that's the beauty thing about golf, isn't it? You know,
it is.
You never know.
It is. You never do, which is, you kind of wish you did,
right? Right, yeah. Yep.
The beauty and curse of it. But, but yeah, so, and looking at both their schedules, very favorable schedules on both sides. You know, not too much travel on the women's side. Get an opportunity to play some decent competition around the Midwest here. And then on the men's side, you know, going to normal tournaments that they would be at, like the D3 Classic down in Destin, you know, Thunderbolt Classic as well. So they'll get to see some of the higher echelon teams in the nation. And when it comes to golf, like, that's what I figured out, is you almost have to travel to play the better teams, so that way, because it's not NPI, it's still committee based, but, you know, that way you can come back and you can say, hey, like, UW-Eau Claire beat so-and-so from Georgia. Well, we rank so-and-so from Georgia, like, 15th. Is there any reason why Eau Claire shouldn't be 14th?
Right.
Right, just based on head-to-head and stuff like that. So it is kind of cool sitting and talking with Darren about the whole thing. I know he doesn't like talking about it because we've been on the short end of the stick so many years with it, right?
Right.
But just kind of talk with him and seeing how it kind of all navigates out from a standpoint of, you know, again, he has to be very strategic in where he wants to send his teams and who he wants to play. And that's only half of it, right? Because, like you said, you know, anybody can really shoot anything.
Right.
Right, at any time. So not only do you have to be strategic with your lineup, you got to be strategic with who you play, where you go, how much travel, all that.
Exactly. So tennis is also, and actually I know the women's team's already gotten underway for the tennis schedule too. And I mean, it's coming in hot and heavy right away with a bunch of, you know, teams that they're familiar with, WIAC teams.
Yeah,
and such, so.
I was talking with Jack about this last week. I thought for sure we waited at least 3 weeks until we hit WIAC play, but
yeah,
we are jumping right into it, which, hey, I'm all for.
Right.
I really am. Get the games in. Let's go. Like, that's awesome. So, women's team kicked things off on Saturday. No, Friday. Saturday. God, this 3-day weekend really has my...
Saturday. The Warhawk Invitational.
I love 3-day weekends. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it screws up the schedule, though.
But my, like, this morning has been crazy. Finished 5th out of 8 teams. Had some good performances here and there. Talking with Kyle, it was his kind of first time of seeing what the other competition looks like, and I think he said it best. You know, they're not far off from where the other teams are. You know, schools like Carthage, Grinnell, you know, can bring in some better players just from a standpoint of financial burdens and stuff like that, being private. But they're not far off from say the likes of La Crosse or Whitewater, right? The usual suspects that we're battling with in WIAC play. So I'm very excited for it. Had some newcomers show some real promise from a standpoint of Aubrey Whitwer finished the highest with a second place finish in number 3 singles. So it'll be a fun team to watch and just see how they can progress throughout the year, with their first home match being Friday against River Falls, and then they jump right back into it Saturday against, I believe it's Point. No.
I got you here. It is River Falls. They play Friday and Stout Saturday.
Stout Saturday.
Yeah.
It was ST.
The War on 94.
Yeah. So. Tennis edition.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, very, very excited to see how that's, to see how they do this year and, you know, can they take the next step? But at the same time, kind of just seeing how Kyle and his crew, who he's kind of assembled, you know, it's a change for him.
Right.
Right. Going from coaching tennis at Regis to now Division III. But very, very excited to see how they do.
Speaking of excited, I'm excited to and curious to get your thoughts on this team because we've talked about them. I mean, it's kind of almost a little bit of a change here, too. The soccer team, you know, looking at the last few years, you know, newer team a few years ago, but just the improvement every single year. A lot of those guys are gone now, though, right? You know, some of them are. And I know they got off to a 1-0 start. They took down Carroll University. But what's the expectation? What's because I mean you've talked about this group for as long as I've known you now, and just the excitement every single year it keeps building. What's it like this year for this soccer ball or soccer team?
It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Just not only to talk with Casey and his staff, but even to talk to the guys because they don't shy away from it. They're all like, yeah, we're very well aware that we had National Player of the Year last year, kid that. You know, led the nation in scoring, kid that led the nation in assists for 2 years, and they're gone. And where does that production come from? This group is probably as close as I've seen it, which is crazy to think because they're coming off of a run to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Right? But they're hungry for it. Watching them on Sunday, I could tell they still have that fire. They still have that energy. They still work so well. And I think I give Casey credit in just the way that he's recruited. But, you know, that's been the one question we've gotten from everybody is, oh, what are you going to do without your, you know, National Player of the Year? I look at it. You look at our defensive line. Like, we got three guys. Two of those guys have played together since they were freshmen. And you add in Carson, who came in last year and seamlessly transitioned with that defense. Like, we're not missing that many pieces that we lost last year from a standpoint of the starting 11. I think we have Sunday's lineup featured seven returners.
Okay.
Seven, eight. So, like, and, you know, he's brought in a couple transfers. You know, we had a grad transfer coming in from Luther, Ramsey Oru, who scored the season's first goal on Sunday. And Ramsey brings an alternate fire that, you know, coaches love to see. And so the obvious question is, where's the production going to come from? Right? Anytime you lose a key piece like Nathan Donovan, it's going to be a question mark of, okay, well, who is going to fill that hole? Who's going to, you know, make up for all that offensive production?
Right.
And it's not only Nathan Donovan, it's Carter Tiesfeld in the middle, it's Spencer Banks and Mark Belknap and Jacob Leonard, you know, in net, right? We don't make it to the Elite Eight without Jake Leonard beating Platteville in penalties.
Right.
Right? So I think the way that this team is taking all those questions is they're just like, we're well aware of what we had and what we're quote-unquote missing, but we're up for the task to take it on full steam and play for us, right? This is... It's interesting because you look at, like, volleyball. Oh, wow, I really should know this, but I'm pretty sure it's Team 52 this year, right? So what Kim has done, and I believe she got it from Lisa.
But I was just going to say softball. It does
softball does it too, right? Yeah. In a sense of, like, your, like, motto for the year is team whatever. How many, however many, whatever number program it is in the program
history.
Yeah, program history. Thank you. So, like, I see it on, like, the men's side. Like, they're not playing as well. This is, you know, men's soccer, and it's the Nathan Donovan Club, right? Like, this is Team 5. Like, and Team 5 is going to play a whole lot differently than Team 4 did, and then Team 3 did, right? Because you have different players. And so that's where I'm excited to see this team grow. Casey Tabbert did an interview with Casey last week, and one of the first questions he had asked is, you know, how much pressure is there? You know, because you look at their track record, and every single year they've just gotten closer and closer and closer to it. And Casey said, you know, there's pressure, but it's better than not having that pressure, right? Mm-hmm. We could be in a completely different situation where we're hovering right around 500 and, mm-hmm. and, you know, not even sniffing the NCAA tournament. So I think another key component is their schedule. I mean, four road games right off the bat, tough. But like Casey has stated, like, that is plenty of time for these guys to be around one another.
I was just going to say, because you look at the schedule, there's a lot of road games, and I think there's only one home game in the month of September.
Yep.
For soccer. So that's the one benefit. Yeah, you guys are going to be on the road and bunking together quite a bit.
100%. And some would say, you know, it's not the best to start that way. I look at it from this standpoint. If you're playing at home later in the season,
yep.
and if you've collected enough wins, well, then you're hosting conference playoff games.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it becomes more routine than it does, you know, becomes a task of a sense of, oh, hey, by the way, it's a Saturday. We have soccer this afternoon.
Yep.
It's the same thing I did last Saturday and the Saturday before that, right? So I think, again, just the way that it's scheduled and the way that this team is composed, I'm very excited mm-hmm. For them. But again, like, I mean, I'm not going to shy away from it. There are definite question marks. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it all comes down game by game. They took care of business in game one. They'll take care of business, hopefully take care of business in game two, and, mm-hmm. and go from there.
Yep. All right. So the final sports, I believe we covered them all before, right? Or no, I missed one.
Women's soccer.
Yes.
Women's soccer also yep. started off two tough games on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they saw St. Olaf last Friday on the road. St. Olaf's got a great team.
Mm-hmm.
They got some tremendous size. Sunday against Central, it was a back-and-forth battle.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those. Ball just didn't bounce their way.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of miscues here and there. They also lost a lot. So there, you look at the box score, you see a lot of student-athletes either seeing their first playing time or, mm-hmm. you know, playing more minutes than they ever had in the past. So it's going to be a tough challenge for them, right? Especially with lacrosse and what they've done. But Sean is Sean. Right?
I was just going to say, we got to get that pancake breakfast going and stuff, that tradition, right?
100%.
Yep.
100%. So that'll be another fun mm-hmm. one to watch and just see where they end up.
Yep. So football. Which is something new this year, right? We're starting on a Thursday nights. Thursday night, which is, if you're listening to this, tonight.
Tonight.
The football season kicks off at Carson Park, taking on Carroll University. So year three under head coach Erickson. What's the enthusiasm? I mean, we know he's an enthusiastic guy already. But, you know, where's this level at? What's the vibe? What's the vibe check, if you will, with this team as we begin another season?
They're ready.
Yeah?
They are ready. Just being able to watch them through fall camp and talk with some of the guys. Couple things jump out to me right away. One, they're huge.
Okay.
Like, we are big.
Okay.
Not as tree trunk as, like, say, like a River Falls is,
mm-hmm.
but they went out and they grabbed some size.
Nice.
Couple transfers here and there that will... I don't want to say immediate impact, but will definitely be influential, whether it has been through fall camp or guys have just come in from the outside and have bought in to mm-hmm. what Coach Rob and his staff have, you know, kind of preached. I've seen the 2 deep for Thursday already. You know, they're going to be young, but it's so fascinating because I was talking with Brady Great, the defensive coordinator, this weekend. Like, they're young, but for how many youngsters they have, their youngsters played a lot of games last year.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got a couple, you know, I look at, like, the defensive front line. You got a senior and three sophomores.
Oh, nice.
Three of those sophomores played over half the year last year.
Wow.
One of them being a new, the WIAC newcomer of the year in Brady Poles.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there tells you, yes, they're young, but they have experience, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that's going to be the interesting thing this year is you can look at the roster, you can look at the 2-beep, and you can say, oh, well, Eau Claire is just young. We're young, but we're not inexperienced, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some positions, we have people playing their first – Thursday will be their first collegiate game ever.
Right.
So I can tell you that right out of the gate, right? Mm-hmm. So that will definitely be new to some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the enthusiasm behind it. I think it's a culture thing. It really is. That staff has those guys so bought in that it's not a day goes by where, you know, people don't understand where they are, what they're doing, or why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yep. I think that's what's fascinating. And so, yep, they'll jump in Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys, you know, are going back to their roots. Last time they played a night game was, what, high school?
Yeah.
It's for some of those guys, that's 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very excited. I will say, I think the non-conference schedule favors us a little bit more, not playing the likes of Bethel and Co. again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that these are cupcake games. I mean, Carroll beat Stout last year,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was kind of a from what I know, Stout went down there and thought they were just going to handle business. So in no way is Thursday just a show up and leave.
Right, show up and it's an automatic win,
100%,
you know, sort of thing. Yeah.
So very, very excited. Again, if you're listening to this, kickoff 6:05 tonight. For students, and I know we've got a couple things blasted already without the university. We'll do some on socials this week, too. First 1,000 students in the student section, get a free T-shirt.
Nice.
We're going Gold Rush.
Ooh, I like that.
So again, you got like a couple hours before kickoff.
Yep.
Go to Shields, grab a gold T-shirt.
Nice.
I know Sonotech, even Sonotech has some nice apparel. So
mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe stuff over there before the game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going Gold Rush,
week one. I like it.
So.
I like it, especially you freshmen. Get on over there right
yes,
away.
Yes, 100%.
Get it loud at Carson. So.
It is going to be, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I really can't. Like, this entire weekend, that's all. I mean, I've been following other games, but, like, in this, that's our first official home game, mm-hmm. right, out of anybody. So.
Well, that's true, yeah, because everything else has been on the road, so.
Yep. So very, nice. Very excited to kick this off, and
mm-hmm.
we'll see. We will see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, speaking of excited to kick off season 3 for Rolling with the Golds podcast, brought to you by Mancino's Grinders and Pizza.
Thanks for bringing me back.
You got it, man. So next week we'll get back to having some guests, but we wanted to kind of do a preview
mm-hmm.
with everything going on because we are in the full fall now, swing of things
right.
with everything going on. So just kind of want to do an extended rundown of everything and previewing it. And like you did at the opener, some new faces. New but old faces, because they're all Blue Golds coming back.
They're all alums.
Yeah. So
so nice not having to take these new coaches on tours of the campus.
Right? They already know everything. So.
Oh, I just go here for my Blue Gold ID? Yep. Same place when you were a freshman.
Same place. So, all right, dude. Can't wait for another season. It's here. Welcome back.
Let's have some fun.
Exactly. All right. We'll talk to you again tonight. Get to Carson Park.
6:05
kickoff. And then next week... Hopefully we're talking about a win and many more wins for our other fall sports teams. We'll see you then.
Let's do it.